May the Lord help us to commence our services today by singing hymn number 130. 130. Christ is the eternal rock on which his church is built, the shepherd of his little flock, the lamb that took our guilt, our counselor, our guide, our brother and our friend, the bridegroom of his chosen bride, who loves her to the end. Hymn number 130.
Thank you. We read from God's Word, Matthew chapter 27, commencing to read at verse 11. The Gospel recorded by Matthew chapter 27, from verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word. Insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner, called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day, in a dream, because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whither the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil have he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. When he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments amongst them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him, the scribes and elders said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, Lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake, the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. There we will leave the reading of God's holy word. May he help us in prayer. Most holy, kind, and gracious Lord God, help us now to draw near in prayer before thy throne as we gather round thy word for worship. And Lord, may we gather around thy word hungry and thirsty, needing the bread and water of life. Speak, O Lord, as we come to receive of the food of thy word. And may hungry souls be fed this day. And may souls who are not hungry be made hungry through thy Holy Spirit's work this day, that they may leave thy house with an appetite for the things of God. May, Lord, there be life, both given and maintained here this day. That eternal life, which once given will never ever be extinguished. May, Lord, there be souls born of God this day, here. And, Lord, may those already born be fed and watered by God's almighty hand. Bless, Lord, thy word we've read. We thank thee for it. We thank thee, Lord, for the accounts we have of the Lamb of God being slain for sinners. Lord, give us that faith to trust in that sacrifice alone for sin, and not to seek a refuge or a shelter anywhere else, but in the Lamb of God, and to rest our hope for heaven alone in what he has done. We thank thee, Lord, for the love of God in Christ, and for all the blessings which the Trinity bestow upon thy people. For thy grace, for thy love, for thy mercy, thy compassion, for thy guidance and teaching, for thy precious word, for the blood and righteousness of Christ, and countless other blessings which thou dost give to thy sheep. We thank thee, Lord, for thy providential care and for all that thou dost give to us in this life, in the journey here below. Help us, Lord, to worship thee with thanksgiving for thy mercies, temporal and eternal. Give us, Lord, that appreciation and that reverence for thy great and holy name. Give us hearts to worship thee alight this day. Open up the treasures of thy word, and open our hearts to receive them as treasures by faith. Break up the hardness and the unbelief. Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be. End of faith at its beginning. Set our hearts at liberty. Thy mercy, we pray, suit to each soul gathered here today. Grant guidance and direction to those who are seeking thy will. Bring back those who have wandered and strayed and backslidden. Grant forgiveness and comfort to those who are feeling guilty. Grant conviction to those who are hardened in sin. Grant, Lord, that there may be thee both the gift of grace and there may be the growth in grace this day. That there may not just be the babes and the bleating of the lambs, but there may be those lambs who grow up into the full maturity of adult sheep. And who are made pillars in thy house here. Bless this church. Be with them and help them and bless them. And watch over and provide for their every need. Bless the ministry of thy word here. And bless thy servants and help them as they proclaim thy truth. May there be signs following the proclamation of thy word. And bless each member of this congregation. Remember thee, babes. We thank thee for them. We thank thee, Lord, for restoration to those who have been sick and in hospital. Lord, we pray that thou would watch over those young lives, that they may grow up to be pillars in thy house here in a generation to come. And help parents to bring up children in thy fear. Help them to set a right example. Help them to pray for them. Lord, may they live to see answers to those prayers. And do guide them in the journey of life. And early in life, visit them with thy salvation. And be with them, Lord, in school days. Give them success in examinations as far as is right. Open doors for them in employment. And give them godly partners in life. And provide for them homes to live in and bless them indeed. And remember those in the midst of life with its busy scenes, its burdens, its cares, its needs. Be with them and help them and sustain them. Be the burden bearer. And remember those drawing near the evening time of life. And those in the evening time. Help them, Lord, to bear forth fruit to eternal life in old age. And Lord, may they be enabled to cast their care on thee. Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. Grant, Lord, help in the Sabbath school this afternoon. Help the teachers to teach, and help the children as they hear. And Lord, may they remember something which will be a guide and a constraint and a restraint all their life long through. Bless, we pray, thy church as it meets for worship today. Help thy servants as they preach. Remember the various congregations. And be with them and gather with each assembly. Pour out showers of blessing upon thy church today. Remember thy servants laid aside in sickness and raise them up again. Remember those causes who do not have one of thy servants this day. But Lord, may they still have thee. Remember, Lord, our nation. Remember, Lord, our King, the royal family. And in these days when they mourn the loss of a mother and of a grandmother, of an irreplaceable part of their family life, Lord, may they learn to rest on thee. May they prove thee to be the God of all comfort and the giver of all grace. Remember, Lord, our new government, our new Prime Minister. Give him natural wisdom to guide this nation aright. Give him spiritual wisdom to seek and to know the Lord, and to govern this nation with grace in his heart. And guide the ship of state, we pray, and protect thy church. Protect our religious and civil freedoms. Put a restraint upon Satan and on his designs, we pray. And grant, Lord, we may yet live to see better days in this land, when those who govern love thy word instead of having a vehement hatred for it. Help us, Lord, now this day. Gather with us, we pray. Be the head of the house. Be the master of the assembly. Come and stand in the midst. Lord, don't be at the door, but be in the midst, be in the center. We ask to feel a union sweet. We ask a blessing on thy word. We ask, but all our askings meet in this, we ask thy gracious presence, Lord. And we ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 297. 297. Jehovah has said, 'Tis left on record, the righteous are one with Jesus the Lord. At all times he loves them, 'twas for them he died. Yet oft times he proves them, for grace must be tried. Hymn 297.
Thank you.
turn with the Lord's help to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. The closing words in verse 46. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We have here an ocean, the depths of which are immeasurable. The Saviour has come to thee. Darkest hour of his life. He has come to the bitterest part of his cup. He has come to the greatest sorrow of all. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? For 6 hours he is hung upon the cross. For 6 hours he is endured the pain and suffering. He has endured the hatred and the vicious vindictiveness of that crowd. Who, though he is dying, delighted to make his grief greater by mocking him, saying he cannot save himself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. And of course, that was a temptation from Satan, using that crowd to try and tempt the Saviour to disobey his holy heavenly Father's will. The thieves cast the same in his teeth. What a lonely place. What a desolate place the Saviour is in. And then, from the sixth hour, there is a darkness over all the land. A supernatural darkness. A darkness which covered the world. There had been no darkness like this before or since. The only comparable darkness was in the land of Egypt, when one of the plagues afflicted them, and they said it was a darkness so deep it could be felt. This is a darkness of hell itself. And behind that darkness, in those hours, the Saviour has the wrath of almighty vengeance poured out upon him. for his people's sins. Behold a scene of matchless grace, is Jesus in the sinner's place. Heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might adore his name. He sighed, he groaned, he wept, he cried. Through awful floods he passed and died. And here at the ninth hour, he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Usually, when he prayed in public, he called him Father. His first word upon that cross had been, Father. But now he does not call him Father, but my God. And the reason for that is because all the comfort of his Father's presence had been withheld and withdrawn from him in these hours upon the cross. And he felt a loneliness and a sorrow which cannot be compared. Throughout his life, up until these hours on the cross, he had never known what it was to be forsaken of his Father. He had been sustained through that life of sorrow by the near comforting presence of his Father at all times. Unlike children of God who do know the Lord's presence but also his absence, who do know his smile but also his frown, who do know his encouragements but also his rebukes, the Son of God had never known that because he had never sinned and he had never earned it. But now, as he is made sin for his people, instead of feeling the comforting presence of his Father, he feels his absence. And because he loves his Father, it is an absence he cannot bear and yet has to bear. You know what it is like with someone who you love. If you love someone, you want to be near them. You want to be with them. You want to have communication with them. You miss it when they're not there, and you count the days and the hours until you're reunited. You cannot bear it if there is any variance or disagreement or anger between you. That is what love is. Whereas if it's someone you do not love, you don't so much mind whether they're there or not. That is human love. In a far greater way, the Saviour, who had perfect love, could not bear the absence or the anger of his Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Although he does not call him Father, he still calls him my God. These words are spoken with reverence. The greatest of reverence, the greatest of respect. The deepest submission. Notice he does not ask for the cup to pass from him. He does not ask for the cup even to be lessened in its intensity or in its length. He merely asks why. He does not say, "Why have all the disciples forsaken me when they promised not to?" He does not say, "Why did Peter deny me so basely when he said he would not?" He does not ask, "Why did Judas betray me?" He does not mention the nails in his hands or the crown of thorns on his head or the mocking crowd. No, he comes to the deepest part of all. "Why hast thou forsaken me?" This word, forsaken, what does it mean? It means that God has turned his back. It means that God no longer thinks upon this one. Here we have the experience of the lost in hell itself. For hell is a place where they are forsaken of God, where God has turned his back upon them completely, totally, finally, irreversibly, and forever. And they know it. It means that they are as far away from a God of mercy, of love, and of compassion as it is possible to be. And for that gap never, ever to be bridged. And it does not matter how often, how earnestly, how sincerely, how piteously they pray in hell. They never ever receive a single answer of peace, of comfort, of sustainment. No gospel is preached to them, no promise is ever given, no Saviour is sent to them. They are forsaken, left alone with their sin and with the anger of Almighty God. That's what it is to be forsaken. And it is forever. And that is one of the great sorrows of hell. If it could be said it was not forever, that would be a great comfort to them. If they knew that at some point in the future it would end, it would be more bearable. But eternity is forever. It will never end. That is why it is vital that you and I may know the reality that what Jesus did here in this chapter was for us. Because, friends, if it wasn't, you and I will know what it is to be forsaken of God in an eternity yet to come. And if God's beloved Son could not bear it, how do you think you will bear it? Eternity, tremendous sound. To guilty souls, a dreadful wound. But oh, if Christ and heaven be mine, how sweet the accents, how divine. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So what is the answer? Why? First of all, because it was for the glory and the honour of God that he should come to this place. Secondly, we see here just how awful, how offensive, how vile, how hideous one sin is to God. If the Lord Jesus Christ had only borne one sinner's guilt, and if they'd only had one sin on their conscience to be paid, such is the offense that God feels for sin, he would still have come to this point, this depth of sorrow. So we see here just how offensive sin must be to God, that his beloved Son has to come here for sin to be pardoned. What does the hymn writer say? You who think of sin but lightly, nor behold the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of God and Son of Man. Child of God, surely, when we come here to the cross, it should bring us in confession to God for our sin. And it should make us more earnestly pray that we may have grace which conquers the love of sin. One man put it like this: it was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Beloved friend, if your sin brought him there, how offensive then must that sin be to God, that it took no less than his beloved Son not only to come to the cross, not only to have to hang there for these hours, but he has to hang there in it till he comes to this point. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So we see something of the depth of the depravity and the offense of sin. The next thing we see is something of the depth of the love of God. In that he was willing to do all that was necessary for the salvation and for the deliverance of this people who had ruined themselves in sin against him. Such was his love. He was willing to send his beloved Son to pay the price that was necessary, that this people may be with him forever. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. We rightly, when we speak of the cross, often center on the love of Christ. But beloved friends, let us not forget also the depth of the love of the Father, because he it is who gave Christ. He it is who sent him here to the cross. He it is who diverted the almighty anger of the Godhead upon his beloved Son. He it is who turned his face away from him, and that must have cost the Father. All for love's sake, to you, poor trembling child of God. See here the love of the beloved Son in being willing to partake of this cup and to drink all of it. And to come to this very place where he has to come for one soul to be forgiven. Child of God, he was forsaken that you might never be forsaken. And what a debt of love do you owe to him. And the hymn writer got it right, did he not, when he said, speaking of glory, then Lord shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Who can measure the depth of the love of the Saviour in willingly coming here? And staying here until it was accomplished, until all those sins, an infinite number of sins of an infinite number of people, had been forgiven. He was punished for the greatest and for the least of these sins. Not that there is such a thing in one sense as the least of sins, but the Lord Jesus himself said to Pilate, him who hath delivered me unto thee hath the greatest sins. So there are categories of sins, but they're only greater and greater. And consider this, you who sin lightly. If you die in that sin, that sin that you now think is so little and inconsequential and insignificant, it will not be so in hell. You'll have a different view of it then. And if by God's grace the Saviour bore it for you, it was not a little sin of no consequence to him. This is where it brought him to. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Our text should give us a hatred for sin and a love to Christ and a willingness to fight against sin rather than regarding it as some insignificant thing when it is not. May God give us such a view. And we only really get that view at Calvary, do we not? Yes, sin is seen deep at Sinai, but it's seen at its deepest here at Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then again, we must not forget the love of the Holy Spirit either here. For it is he which takes the blood of Jesus and applies it to the heart of the poor sinner. And it is he who teaches that sinner his need in the first place. And without the Holy Spirit's teaching, we would be ignorant of it. We would not see our need. And that need would never be supplied. So here at Calvary's cross, we see the love of the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for his people. And there is a depth to that love that no one can fathom, that no one can measure. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There is no angel now to strengthen him as there was earlier in the garden. There is no voice which says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Although the Father was just as pleased with his Son here upon the cross as he had been when he had made those declarations from heaven. That the Son did not enjoy or experience that pleasing. Why hast thou forsaken me? And then the next reason, which we should ponder and consider. Because it was and is not possible for sin to be pardoned any other way than through the cross of Christ. This is the only way a sinner can be welcomed by God, can be received by God, can be forgiven by God. This is the only way we can know what the hymn writer wrote: ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like these praise should sing. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Saviour had cried, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." If it was possible for sin to be pardoned any other way, if it was possible that by our own good works, our own efforts, our own doings, we could find favor with God, the Father would have spared his Son this cup. And he would never have come here. But why did the Father not spare his Son? He had almighty power. At any point he could have intervened, but he did not. Why did he allow his Son to be betrayed? Why did he allow him to be arrested and not intervene? Why did he allow him to be condemned and then brought to this point and physically crucified, and his power was restrained? Because sin could not be pardoned any other way. That's why. And Almighty God here in the death of his beloved Son is saying quite clearly, there is no other way of forgiveness. There is no other way into heaven except through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. That is the way. And that is the only way. And it does not matter whether you accept it or not. It does not matter whether it offends you or not. God will not change. This is the only way. Let us therefore seek this way. This is the only way of safety. Let us be thankful that there is a way. there was no way for the devils and their fallen angels when they sinned. There never was a way for them back to God. But for man there is a way. And this is the way. Did you not sing in our opening hymn about it? When sin had dearly made, 'twixt wrath and mercy strife, our dear Redeemer dearly paid our ransom with his life. Faith gives a full release, our surety for us stood. The Mediator made the peace and signed it with his blood. Poor pilgrim shall not stray, who frightened flee from wrath. A bleeding Jesus is the way, and blood tracks all the path. Christians in Christ obtain the truth that can't deceive, and never shall they die again who in the life believe. This is the way, walk ye in it. How, you say, do I walk in it? By faith. Ask God to give you that faith, to trust, to come, to venture, to lean, to build your hope for heaven only upon this way. Because Jesus is the way to God and the only way. That's why he had to come here. He stooped so low to raise his people so high. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is it therefore any wonder, perhaps, then, believer, why sometimes you feel forsaken when you never really are? It's being made a partaker with Christ in his sufferings. That means you are not just an observer. It means that in a very small measure, much smaller than what he came to here, you have to walk the same way. That you might have a greater understanding and appreciation for where he walked for you. But unlike you, you don't walk alone. What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Just one. He doesn't ask for two. 1 hour. And we grumble at that. Yes, it's a dark hour. His hour was darker. Yes, it's a lonely hour. His hour was much lonelier. He watched 33 years for you, believer. He calls you to watch 1 hour with him. May the love of Christ make us willing to watch with him. To take up our cross for him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And like him, we do deserve to be forsaken. We do deserve to be left alone. And often the cause is not because he has forsaken us, it's because we've forsaken him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? If you go back and walk in sin, is it any wonder that you feel forsaken? Because he will not walk with you in sin. If you serve sin, you cannot expect to enjoy the Saviour's company and his smile upon you. It'll only be a further distance until you're brought to that restoration. But you will be, believer. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth all sins, even sins of backsliding. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Believer, he was forsaken at death. you may not be forsaken. You know, Jesus did not die in the dark. He didn't die here, did he? How did he die? Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He died in peace. He died in peace because at that moment every single one of the sins which had been charged to his account had been paid for. And the moment that last sin had been paid for, the Saviour immediately knew the complete restoration or the full comforting presence of his Father. And he acknowledged that in those last words on the cross. He died in the full peace of God and in the comfort to acknowledge that there was no longer a variance between God and him. That there was no longer a distance, that there was no longer any anger. And child of God, because he came here, one day you too will come to the same place. You will not die in the dark. That doesn't mean that you will necessarily die in the full assurance of faith. That does not necessarily mean that there won't be temptation and trial. Sometimes there is. But it won't be dark after death. There'll be no more darkness, no more sorrow, no more sin. Just divine embrace, eternal life in the mansions of the Lord. Believer, the prospect's a good one. You've no need to fear death. It's a valley of the shadow of death he calls you to walk through. And a shadow can't hurt you. A shadow can't bite you. A shadow can't kill you. So all the substance has been taken away. Child of God, look up in faith this morning. Because your Saviour came here, you will die safely. And then you will know what the hymn writer wrote in that last verse, not in our book of hymn 199, "Come thou fount of every blessing." There's a verse they left out. I close with it. Oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see his lovely face, clothed then in blood-washed linen. How I'll sing thy matchless grace. Let me love thee in thy fullness. Guide me by thy mighty hand. Till, transformed in thine own image, in thy presence, I shall stand. Believer, that's your prospect, because your Saviour drank this cup for you. The reason he was forsaken is that you may have a place in heaven at last. And what a debt of love do you owe to him. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service this evening. And Sunday school will be at Bethany today. Tomorrow there'll be a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock, and this will be followed by a church meeting. I'm very sorry to tell you that Mr. Robert Field cannot come. He is ill, and we received a message this morning to say he has COVID. So let us be helped to pray for him. On Tuesday evening, Mr. Graham Hadley will preach at 7 o'clock, and there will be a collection for the Trinitarian Bible Society. And next Lord's Day, there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. And Mr. John Rosier who was engaged to preach, has COVID, so we do not know if he'll be able to come or not. So if he comes, he's asked if we will have services at 10:30 and 2:30. If he's not able to come, we'll hope to have the services at the usual times. Our closing hymn is 1025. Hymn number 1025. In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Hymn 1025.
Thank you.
Lord, may we be filled with wonder, love, and praise at thy precious love for poor sinners. Lord, may we know what that hymn writer wrote, mine was a transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Though here I fall, my Saviour, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favour, vouchsafe to me thy grace. Lord, give to us each that saving matchless grace, which came at so great a cost. And may a sight of a crucified Saviour make us willing to walk and carry our cross for thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of God the Holy Ghost be with us now and forever. Amen.